Joined in studio by Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst with DCU, and Alison Keating, the practical psychologist. Good afternoon to you both.
Hey, Ray.
Now, we were talking jokingly about the weather and the effect it has on people, but it does have a real psychological effect on people.
Absolutely. Ray, yeah. Between the, like, particularly in Ireland, because we just don't take it for granted. You know, we organise the barbecue for tonight, not for tomorrow, just in case. And the light, the long days. Yeah. Again, you just get a sense of opportunity that you can actually do something with your evenings, your weekends. So it's a win-win at the moment. Yeah. Except for the poor people doing exams. My heart goes out to you.
Yeah. And we also thank you for the weather.
Because that happens every year.
Yes.
Okay, well, sort of related. This one is about holiday woes. And this probably is a problem that's echoed around the country. This might seem like a very first world problem, but I don't know how to handle it. We have a small holiday mobile home that belonged to my parents and we share between us grown-up siblings now that they have passed. We usually manage it through a shared calendar in the summer. But this year, my sister has just booked herself on every available weekend, including the bank holidays, for her and her friends. She kind of adopted a you snooze, you lose approach. But it means me and the kids have nowhere to go this summer. I've started a new job, so don't have a lot of time off, and was relying on a couple of weekends near the sea for decompression. I just find it so selfish on her part, but she tends to hold a grudge, and I don't want to create a family feud. Is there any way, do you think, of cajoling her to cancel without falling out? Alison.
Well, maybe you need to fall out. No, I'm not joking. Yeah, like, this is a really hard thing. And I'm actually thinking of the reality of how to deal with this. And I really feel this person's like, I don't want to cause problems here, but the sister is not caring about the impact it's having on everyone else. Mm. So there's such strong sibling dynamics at play here. I'm wondering what age the person who's booked. I'm going to take a wild assumption, say the person who booked all the dates in is the eldest.
Do you think?
Okay. Yes. I think that there's a real control mechanism that you know that the person's going to hold a grudge against you if you go back and say, I'm not very happy about this. So that's a real strong control mechanism when you know how someone's behaviour is going to be before you've even done it. So I'm saying, actually, maybe there needs to be a bit of a cycle break here and go in and actually say, look, I'm totally honest. This is actually this is unfair. I actually do want to go sometimes. This is for all the siblings. Can we please sit down together? I know you've booked in already, but it's actually not going to work.
Mm. I think they need a new system.
They do.
It seems to be a little bit all over the place, doesn't it? The first come, first served.
The you snooze, you lose system hasn't worked historically. A lot of wars have happened on that policy.
Yeah. So what do you think?
Oh, look, they've already fallen out. Like, that's what's already happened. But it wrecks my head that the sibling or the person who kind of goes, what's happened becomes the problem rather than the person who actually makes things happen. So let's be clear. You haven't caused this. It already has happened and your sister's made a decision. So again, I think like Alison, you kind of have to be direct with it. And you just say, look, is there any room to negotiate? You've kind of made all these weekends. Like, is there any chance I could get this weekend or that weekend? And I suppose I'm curious what the other siblings think and feel.
Yeah.
Not that I want to create some kind of Game of Thrones alliances to knock out the Queen of Dragons, but it's just you do need to check in and see what the others are feeling. Because if they're like, go against you, that's going to have a family feud. But if they can kind of go, actually, yeah, no, I feel the same, then at least you have an ally that hopefully can have a reasonable conversation.
The word that jumped out at me is friends.
Yeah.
So she's booked it for her and her friends. Now, I don't know if she's going to be there with her friends at the time. I presume that'd be too much to actually book her friends in to the mobile home owned by the family. But see, I would have thought, and I've spoken to people about this before, who are in this situation, that they each member of the family is allotted a week here. You know, so you've, say, 2 weeks each, depending on the number of people in the family. They have 2 or 3 weeks during the summer and they have to pick which 2 or 3 weeks. It doesn't sound like they have any system here at all.
They need a better system. I really value that you picked up on the word friends, because there might be something there if this person is divorced or separated or single. Sometimes people who are married, couples or with children, can feel an entitlement. And so the other person kind of feels put upon. So there might be a bit of backstory. So again, just, we don't have enough information, but I love that you highlighted that sensitivity.
Friends. Yeah. My sister's just booked herself on every available weekend, including the bank holidays, for her and her friends. I see, available. That's the other word there. So maybe there is a system,
yeah.
And there might be some weekends left over. But anyway.
But you know what? Like, every family is a system. So we just have to stand back and go, you know, as Ray is saying, you know, you have not caused the problem here. And often the one person who calls out bad behaviour of other people does get picked upon, but it's actually not okay. So I would.
But you're saying they have to call out bad behaviour.
Yes.
Yeah, go in there and create a little soft revolution and get a sort and go on holidays, go to the beach.
And say, I heard the man on the radio say you need a new system. Okay, I hope that works out and it doesn't spoil your summer. Now, Ray and Alison, I'm writing in honestly to ask for advice. I'm married to a great man for almost 10 years. Most things in our lives are going really well and we're happy in our relationship. The only thing that's just starting to become a bit of a problem is money. We both work. He earns more than me. I'm finding my money doesn't stretch as far as it used to. I'm always asking him to lend me money to tide me over for a few days until payday. He always does and never really makes a big deal about it. But sometimes he makes a joke about it and that makes me feel crap. I ask if he wants it back. He says it's grand. But I wonder, does it bother him more than he's letting on? We don't have a joint account. We split rent and bills. I thought I preferred it that way, but now I don't know. I hesitate to ask now, but think it might be something that leads to an issue. Any advice, Ray?
Look, it's always sex, money and housework. They're the three issues for all relationships where people stumble, and you can never have enough conversations about them because sex, money and housework evolve across the duration of a relationship. So just talk to him and just kind of go, look, I know I've been doing this and it just doesn't feel right and I don't want to be taking you for granted. Really meet them in a place of humility. That just is as honest as this is and find out what it means or doesn't mean for him. Because when we have a conversation in our heads, we kind of tend to have the worst conversations.
Of course.
Unless you're Donald Trump and then you have the best conversations.
So yeah, what you're saying is we go through this in our head and we catastrophize when the reality may not be as bad.
Exactly.
Yeah. What about you, Alison?
I think I'm curious, and maybe I'd encourage this person to be curious, who has the problem here. So maybe she's feeling resentful because there's a difference in what's coming into the household between the two of them. So she's saying he earns more than she does.
Mm.
And I think there's lots of conversations around money that actually isn't happening. Have they had a conversation and why isn't there a joint account and what's that actually about? So they kind of went into it feeling like they both be independent. But now that it's not feeling equal, I don't know what's going on the rest of the relationship. Do they have children? You know, what's the distribution of, like, as Ray said, all the kind of power dynamics within the relationship? So it's just about, you know, not even equality, but equity and where they stand. And I feel she might have a problem with it. And she's kind of annoyed when he laughs at her, even though he's making it a joke. I think they need to have a real conversation. Say, look, I actually feel really crappy about myself when you do that. Do you actually, like Ray saying, have a straightforward conversation? But I think you're not feeling very comfortable about it either.
Can I ask you, in your work,
yes,
couples, is money an issue? And is the subject of joint accounts brought up often?
Money is absolutely a major problem in relationships because it's about what it means to you, you know, and how we kind of, our relationship with money goes down to our self-worth, our identity.
Our childhood.
Our childhood, very much kind of our sense of self from our own parents. There's a lot of unwritten rules in there that people need to explore. So I always say, go into those relationships, like Ray saying, kind of with humility, but also curiosity as to them. Let's have a frank conversation here. Let's look at our finances. What can we do? How can we plan? And kind of go at it in a very, like, this is not a problem that can't be solved, I think.
Like giving up, I suppose, a certain amount of control over your finances by opening in a joint account is a statement of intent, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's also...
It's a real statement of intent. Like, you can take your vows and go in sixes and health and all that sort of thing. But part of that should be, and here's the number of my bank account.
It's the subclause under for richer for poorer.
Yeah, but no, I'm sort of serious because it's a big thing, isn't it, for people?
Because we live in a time when people have independent incomes and people have married later than our parents' generation would. So they're used to my money.
Yeah.
They're not used to our money. And so it's a really, really important conversation to have and to keep having, because things change financially across a relationship.
As you said, they evolve over a relationship. Right. Thank you very much. Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst with DCU, and Alison Keating, the practical psychologist. Thank you. We'll see you again soon. Cormac and Sarah are on Drive Time, and we are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.